A life-giving juice right here. Apple carrot. Okay. All right, we have to stop on time, 12 o'clock, so let's finish up. In your program, does the Gerson protocol start before the case presentation? Okay. Now, the Gerson protocol is available in the books. The Green Healing the Gerson Way book has a protocol for non-malignant case and malignant case. So the malignant case is what you want to follow as a general guideline if you have cancer. And that is, the 13 juice per day. But if you're going to do, if you have an autoimmune disease or some other chronic disease other than cancer, then you will follow the non-malignant protocol. All right, so I'm just going to just give you a quick rundown, and then I'll show you some actual protocol, and then I can show you what would be considered a malignant protocol. So the malignant protocol is is for those people who have cancer. So whether it's stage 1 to 4, you have to decide, because there's a malignant protocol for those who have had chemo treatment before Gerson, and there's a malignant protocol for those people who haven't had anything done in the medical treatment arena. And so if you have nothing done yet and you're going to follow the malignant protocol, then you need to do the full protocol. So the full protocol involves 11 to 13 hourly juices per day for a non-chemo pretreated case. Because if you had chemo and you did 13 juices, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? So the chemo is chemicals getting into your body to kill the cancer, and it will also hurt other cells. That's why they check your liver enzymes to make sure that it doesn't get too high. Otherwise, they'll tell you, you need to take a break for a week. Or they give you a space before they hit you with another round. Otherwise, your liver won't make it. So it's very important to know what you're doing. So if you have had chemo, the chemo is in your system. It's not out. Maybe some have gone out, but most of them are stored in your body fats. And it's in your body. Okay? It's not in the bloodstream. If it is in the bloodstream, it'll really hurt you more. So the body knows how to take it out of the bloodstream and store it. It stores it into cells, fat cells, for example. So when you do a lot of juice, okay, understand that there are, when you drive a car, how many gas pedals do you see? One. In the Gerson therapy, there's 5. If you don't know which one to press, Is there a, I had heard somewhere that there's a, is it a semi-truck or something? I mean, I think that's gears, right? Several gears. But do you know of any vehicle out there that has more than one gas pedal? Okay. The reason why is, that's why the Gerson therapy is very much like flying a jumbo jet to me. Okay. Now, I have clients, and actually, at the time it was printed, I said 50, but I have 60 countries now. And I'm monitoring them worldwide. They send me emails, text, messaging. So I'm always in constant communication, because you, if you don't, and you don't answer them within 24 to 48 hours, someone might be going through a severe situation and they need to be sent to a doctor or an ER, see? So I have to monitor them. So I am monitoring them in a remote, but I'm controlling all those controls by sending them protocols. Okay, you're experiencing this. What's your blood pressure, heart rate? Okay, your latest lab shows this, and you're feeling this. Okay, I'm going to modify the protocol, do it real quick, send it, and they've got it. Okay, I'm going to fix it. 3 days later, they send me a response. Thanks, I feel better. That's a Gerson practitioner working worldwide. Okay, so what happens then if you have 13 juices and the juice is one of the gas pedal to accelerate detoxification of the cells, okay, of the cells. So you're pushing a lot of poison into the bloodstream now. What is the gatekeeper of that? You know it by now, you should. What? What takes the poison out of the blood? The liver. Can you say it louder? Liver. You have to help the liver if you're going to do that. And so protocols are made because of that. Because if you don't do it, you end up with a bottleneck and you're going to slam the liver hard, and now you'll end up with a comatose liver. You won't reverse that. And that's what Dr. Gerson has seen. When you end up with a comatose liver, then you're done. Okay? So you have to apply it properly. So don't drink 13 juices if you are not going to help the liver. And in all chemo pretreatments, case before starting Gerson, you did chemo, or currently are in chemo, don't start 13 juices. Probably more like 6. But try maybe 3 first, and then work it up slowly to 6 juices a day. You've got to do that. If you don't, you'll slam the liver, and then you lost the race before you finish it. So that's why we have a modified protocol for chemo pretreatment case. Okay? And the book has it. You just look at the book. Now, the book says 10 juices, okay? That's just a general outline. But if I were you, I'd be a little bit more cautious. Start low, and if you don't have anyone to help you, if you've read the book well, you understand it, be cautious, because once you spill something, it's really hard to just clean up the mess. So it's best to just start on low. 3 cups, gradually 4 cups, and so forth. At the same time, you're addressing the liver issue, so that the plumbing doesn't get stuck halfway. You're moving and shoving poisons out of your body slowly. That's what you're doing. You're shoving it. At 13 juices, it's the same as you've seen those movies in a runaway train, or a train going real fast, and someone is just throwing logs into the furnace. Have you seen that? They're going fast, right? It's going faster and faster and faster. So with 13 juices, it's like flooring the gas pedal. That's basically it. You floor it. So you're going 60 miles an hour, now you're heading 90 miles an hour. And if you don't open up the relief valve of the liver, you're going to be slammed hard. So you've got to do that and start low on the juice. Don't be too gung-ho. Also, the other control to the gas pedal is 5, approximately. Okay? So I'm just going to give you a general, but you're going to have to, if you want more specifics, you'll have to read up on that. And like I said, there are people who are vegans or vegetarians, and I've had a handful of people who are just can't have anything natural extracts from animals. So what do? Well, I give them a vegan option. As few enough people are that way, they just cannot handle. They've always been vegan, so I'll give them just the extracts of herbals. Okay, but it has to be strong enough to move the poisons out of the liver. And so, what I do is to make sure that you support the thyroid. The thyroid is the other gas pedal. In fact, it probably is the most important gas pedal of the Gerson therapy. The thyroid. Now, if your doctor, if you are hypothyroid, you have a diagnosis of hypothyroid, you're in good shape. Because your MD will prescribe you with a thyroid. Because you have a diagnosis of low thyroid. But if you don't have a diagnosis of low thyroid, but you have thyroid symptoms, low thyroid symptoms, you're not going to get the thyroid support. So you'll have to go with a thyroid herbal support for those who are vegans. And then the herbal support will help support your weakened thyroid. And then if you want the extract support for those who are, you know, not familiar with a vegan lifestyle, Adventist lifestyle, then you're going to have to get it, but it'll have to be overseas because it's not available in the U.S. unless you have a diagnosis of hypothyroid. Okay? The industries are very strong in this country. It's a business model. Remember, it's a business model. So, but you know, you have internet access. You can just get it. And the Gerson Institute can help you there if you need to do that. Okay, they have resource. Okay, so thyroid, the third gas pedal. So how you toggle this controls is whether you're gonna break it or make it. And it's that 9 to 12 month window that you have to achieve. So the third control, after you get the juice, you get thyroid, and the third control is the iodine. The iodine is needed to support the thyroid. Most of us don't get enough iodine. Have you heard of that? Okay, iodine is extremely important for the thyroid. That's why we have an epidemic of hypothyroid or low-functioning thyroid. So the iodine is, what it does is it increases the production of thyroglobulin. Or stimulates, and what happens then is it joins with the thyroglobulin, four iodine molecules, and then now you end up with T4, production of thyroxin. Okay? Now, thyroid is produced by the thyroid as T4, primarily. But it gets converted, but it's an inactive form. It's not the active form. It's inactive. Mostly, your body doesn't really prefer that to use. In fact, T3 is what you need. But here in the U.S., they will prescribe you with Synthroid or levothyroxine. Have you heard of that? I'm sure there are many of you taking it. How many of you? No, forget it. But you are. Somebody here is taking a thyroid medication. Okay? So that's T4. It has to be converted to T3 to become active form of thyroid, which is the triiodothyronin. And to do that, this is really important, okay? 60% of that is converted in the liver. So if you have a liver that's down, you're gonna have problems. There's not enough T3. If your intestine is down, that's another part where the thyroid is converted to T3 from T4. You're down. Heart is another area where T4 is converted to T3. And then your muscles is another area where thyroid is converted from T4 to T3. But the most important area is in the liver. So the liver takes, you know, first spot. So if you don't have a system, the organ system is not functioning, and here you're getting all this T4, thyroid, but it's not being converted to T3, your metabolism won't take off the ground. So you have to ask the doctor, you know, I know that I'm taking thyroid, but I still feel sluggish. Can you help me, doc? And my lab shows I have a normal thyroid, but I don't see a T3 here. Think you can order that for me, doc? Don't be in charge, okay? Just ask, do you think it might be good to have a T3 just to check and see if I'm getting enough? I said, okay, let's run a T3. And if your T3 is low, then you're going to need a drug. Unfortunately, that's how it works in the U.S., and that would be Cytomel. Cytomel is T3. But you have to work it out with a doctor. The doctor is in control with your medications, okay? The more the doctor is educated, he might start to, you know, work with you and help you. But if he wants you to get chemo, you know, it's not easy to just say, you know, this is what I want, and he'll give that to you, okay? So you got the thyroid, and then what's the other one? So how many do I have so far? Three? Three controls. Because if you understand the control, you might just be able to know how to toggle them by experience. So you have the juice that is the drives the metabolism, high potassium. You've got the iodine. If you have had chemo, you definitely don't want, especially if you have bone cancer, don't increase the iodine. You'll detox too much and it'll hurt. So keep that iodine low. And then if you have the thyroid, this one, and then the fourth one is potassium. That's a gas pedal. If you have a high dose of potassium, it will compete with the sodium and push the sodium out of the cell, and then water comes out with it because it's a water and salt going together, and then you'll urinate it out, so you'll go to the restroom frequently. Weight drops because of the water loss, and the toxins are coming out at the same time. And so what's going to happen then is if you push the toxins up too quickly, which is the chemotherapy, for example, you will get in trouble. So those controls have to be properly dosed. Those were the four. The fifth one is new, in a sense, but it's been around a long time, and Gerson knew about this. Charlotte Gerson mentioned it in her book. It's been around. It's just that it was hard to access it. It only required doctors to get it. And in some clinics in the U.S., a number of clinics, they do it. Because it's, but they can't do it as a cancer therapy. They do it as a health improvement, just an on the side. Like, yeah, you can add that in. You have to be very careful here, okay? Because the doctors are also, you know, they have license. And if you're not complying, and it's if you're treating cancer doing this instead of the chemo, you could use a license. So your language is important. Yeah, I'm just saying it's a health improvement. You know, if she's got a bacterial infection, help to control it. Remember, bacteria or cancer, they're all the same because they're in the same environment, right? So you treat one environment, you affect the other.
What did you say five is?
I'm just going to say that. I'm just about to say it. Okay. In the beginning of my lecture, I said something very important. God breathed into us what? The breath of life. It's oxygen. And who knew how to use that? What country?
Germany.
Someone came up to me and said, the Germans also made something that's thalidomide, you know, that's hard. You got to be selective. Use what works, right? So, that's the fifth control, and I discovered it probably is. I don't know for sure because I need numbers to show it, but I've seen a lot enough to convince me something is there. I would say that between the top two of the five, I mean, the five are all important. You have to know how to toggle them. You know, you're pressing this gas pedal here, a little bit hard, and then light a little bit here, and then you have to have five legs, actually. So you press here, press here, press here. And you just have to find the right balance. But I would say thyroid and oxygen are probably the top two, the most important, if all there is in that. Okay. So the malignant protocol, oxygen support, metabolic support, digestive support, you can get more details into that, but I want to show you some slides on a protocol, what it looks like as a generic. And then anything that's let's continue finishing the Monadic protocol. I showed you the first slide, but it looks like I lost it here. Okay, so in addition to that, iron support. You need iron because remember, you're anemic, right? You're anemic. So how in the world can you make hemoglobin? And the blood cells are made about, the red blood cells only last in your bloodstream approximately 90 to 120 days, about 2 to 3 months. And it has to be recycled into the spleen. And so you need to have a good replenishment. Because remember now, this environment caters to low oxygen. So it will suppress the formation of hemoglobin. It's one of those things that we don't know why, but it's an intelligent system, as I said. So we don't know why, what's causing it, but all cancer cases, or many chronic disease cases, have low hemoglobin. There's some connection there. And so how do you make more hemoglobin unless you have the right environment to make it? So you need to have iron as an ingredient. You need to have oxygen. You need to have vitamin B12. So Gerson pointed it all out. So you need to have a certain amount of B12. I would say get a good amount of B12 support. Iron support. Where do you get iron? Is it the kind that we get iron pills? Can we use that? Well, unfortunately, iron pills cause us intestinal problems. Have you tried that before? It's very irritating. So there is something that you can use if your digestive system is well supported. You could. What whole plant food is rich in iron? What? So many answers. Give me one answer, good one. Beets? What was that? Kale? Yeah, there's a mixed answer. Maybe everyone doesn't know, right? Okay, I'm sure there's iron in every food. Okay, but usually what I use is legumes. Okay, legumes are rich, beans. Okay, the problem is it has enzyme inhibitors. Remember? Especially soy, very high. But don't use soy. Use other beans. So what I usually do is, for a person who is low in hemoglobin, I tell them, why don't you try some lentils? It's easier to digest. Lentils are easier to digest. But you make sure you take some enzymes to help digest it. Okay? So take some vegetarian enzymes, and the enzymes that I like using, which is probably the best out there, it's called Enzymedica Digest Gold, AT Pro. It's a long name, Enzymedica Digest Gold. You have to open a capsule and put it into your bean soup or dish. Just mix it, and it will start to digest the beans before you put it into your mouth. Okay? So digestive enzymes, and you can do that, and now it'll provide you with some dietary iron. And on top of that, there is a supplement out there that you could use. I've used it, but it doesn't help all the time, but it is at least something to try in case you don't do well with beans. And that would be a product called Blood Builder. It's an Amazon. It's called Blood. You read all the ratings. It is like 5 stars, just pretty much 5 stars. And there's like hundreds of people that have used it. I mean, they can't really go wrong when you have that many people reporting how successful it is in helping anemia. So you look at the rate. So when you look at a product online, you not only look for what you want, but look at the rating, the customer review. Did it help their problem? And you read many of them. Just read it. And read the ones that have the worst rating. Just read it. And you will find that many of them, their anemia improved. Okay? It's called Blood Builder. It's really what it is. It comes from, and get this is interesting, nutritional yeast. Nutritional yeast. Now, if you have a sensitivity you wouldn't want to take that. But nutritional yeast is let's see, the name of it is it's called something cerevisiae. I can't remember the genus and species. But anyway, that is commonly used as a like a dressing or as a flavoring for people who are into the raw food industry. So if you're a raw fooder, meaning you eat everything raw, those people are usually interested, or they use the nutritional yeast and they sprinkle it, just like a yellow flakes. And it has a nice taste to it, okay? But the blood builder has a formula to it, and that will help also for iron support. And it doesn't disturb you. It's not elemental iron. It's much more of a, from a, coming from that group of yeast. So it's better. It doesn't disturb the stomach and gives very good report. So the other thing is immune support. You know, you need to help the immune system, especially if your WBC count is really low, because when you get chemotherapy, it really knocks it down. So it goes down to 3 or less, WBC of 3 or less. But the important number to watch for immune system, and your doctor might miss that because you're thinking from a different train of thought here, from the Gerson way, you need to look at the absolute lymphocyte count. That's the one of all the WBC information that you get, the CBC, you know, CBC, when you get the results, you'll see WBC, red blood cell, hemoglobin, and then some other numbers, then you get platelets, you know, and then there's a breakdown. There's percent neutrophils, percent lymphocytes. Don't go to the percent. Go to the absolute, which is the bottom, and you'll say absolute lymphocyte count. Look at that number. If the lymphocyte count is less than 1, in general, that's a poor prognosis. If it's over 1, you have a shot at it. If I see someone with a stage 4 cancer and with a lymphocyte, absolute lymphocyte count of 2 or more, you can do it. You can fight it. You've got enough immune system there left for us to boost. Okay? So you look at that number. That's like a gauge. Man, oncologists probably know that, but they're not going to really mess with it because they don't want to finish up the protocol. But you look at that number because it will knock your white count down all the way, including that number. So if that's all the way knocked out, to get back up on your feet, it's going to take forever. And you need immune support to help you, to give you the crutch. Okay? And the immune support we're looking at, there are many kinds out there, many. I'll give you one, a natural one that's out there, colostrum. Have you heard of that? Rich in immunoglobulins. You can get that from a health food store, colostrum. Another would be things like certain mushroom extracts that is anti-carcinogen. So it'll deal with the cancer directly, not necessarily build up your immune system or support your white cell count, but it will at least deal with the cancer because your body takes time to rebuild these things up. And to build up your immune system, your bone marrow, you need a good amount of protein. Protein is the building block, so you need some certain proteins. Okay, so those are supplements you'll use to help your immune system boost up while you're waiting for it to come up to life. You are using these supplements to deal with the cancer because the cancer is on; it continues to fight to try to survive. It's killed by the chemo, but it has survivors, and they're going to be resistant a year later. So after about a year, it's no longer good. They're going to change the drug. And if they can't find a drug, it will be experimental, which means it's never been tested, and you're one a guinea pig. Okay, the next thing is liver support. As I mentioned to you, this liver support is like things like milk thistle. It's very powerful. It's 80% standardized silymarin is what you want. A milk thistle, 250 milligrams, and I usually put them on, you know, about 1,000 milligrams a day. And you have to check, you know, if you're sensitive to milk thistle, you don't want to overdo it because some people have autoimmune. So if you're chemical and food sensitive, just be careful. Just start really low. But milk thistle is going to help to increase your liver detoxification to help support it. Another would be the Dr. Schultz formula on liver gallbladder formula, tinctures. They're tinctures. So very strong of different herbs that they put together. And then curcumin is a very powerful liver support, and it is also an anti-carcinogen. Turmeric curcumin. And then, let's see. And of course, you could, this is something that for those people who want to try it, this is something that you could do, but some people are sensitive to this taste and it's too strong. It's wheatgrass juice. It's actually a powerful liver detoxifier. And you could get certain reactions just from drinking 1 ounce of it. You feel nauseous, then you know it's powerful. One time I drank an 8 ounce glass of wheatgrass juice all at one time. And I thought, I said, my goodness, I don't feel good anymore. So a whole day I was out. I was feeling dizzy, nauseous. I said, how can that be? This is supposed to be good for you. I've read about it from the raw food industry. They said, wheatgrass, that's power. But it detoxified you too quickly, too much. And that's what we call that the release into the bloodstream, and then all of a sudden it's influencing your brain, because your brain is the most sensitive to these chemicals, and it's going to your brain, it's affecting your appetite, you're nauseous. So wheatgrass is powerful. And for those people who can't juice, sometimes I tell them, you know what? You've got a belly full of liquid. It's called ascites. It's a liver cancer usually, or some GI cancers. And so you're full. You have a big belly, and it's swishing around, and you can't drink juice because you're full. So I have to tell them, you know, what other greens can we give you? Because if you drink more juice, your belly is going to get bigger. It's feeding the ascites. So I tell them, why don't you try some wheatgrass juice? Maybe it will help at least get your greens without drinking so much fluid. I tried that on one case with ovarian cancer, and she did extremely well. She was able to get rid of the ascites, and then now she's wrecked on the regular juice. She's drinking 10 juices a day and doing well with the ovarian cancer. And she had thyroid cancer before and then ovarian, but she's doing very well, surprisingly. And she's young. She's in her 30s. Okay, and the next thing is antioxidant support. The antioxidant is very important, like vitamin C. If you had chemo, you need vitamin C. And you need also, well, the selenium is another ingredient in the Gerson program. That's an antioxidant. Glutathione is an antioxidant. And some of you, if you're weakened, you need some glutathione support. And so you could get that, it's in a liquid form, or you could get it from a capsule or from a powder, but it's best probably a liquid form. And then you can have glutathione promoters, which are powders out there that is derived from whey, and then you just take it, and then it will help to promote your liver to produce the glutathione. But the main thing is that, whey is an animal product, so for those vegans, you don't want to use that, but you can use this other one that's a liquid form, a formula, and it has a strong smell. It has a lot of sulfur in it, so you can imagine that's like rotten eggs, and then you're just drinking it. But it has a lemony taste, so just pinch your nose. So the glutathione is a master antioxidant and will help you support your liver, because the liver detoxification depends on the enzyme glutathione S-transferase for phase 2 detoxification to remove these toxins that are stuck in the liver, and they can't get out. So you move them out, and the most important is the glutathione S-transferase system. And when you're taking additional glutathione support, you're supporting that. Okay, next is vitamin B12. As I mentioned to you, people mostly are B12 deficient. I say half or 50% of people are probably B12 deficient. And so whether or not you're vegan or meat eater, it's both. So it's best to get a B12 support. And the reason why is this. We're all stressed out, right? And we're living in a world where this, at this time now, where stress is very high. So much uncertainties. And so what it does is it drains your system. Your B12 is very important for stress management. So you need to take tons of B12. I take 5 to 10,000 a day of oral B12. 5 to 10,000 micrograms per day. So if you're only taking 1,000 micrograms, it may not be enough in a stressful situation that you live in. You need more, because that's needed for red blood cell production, for energy. Okay, if you ever have gotten a B12 shot, you know that you feel more energy, right? Those of you who have had that. And then, and B12, of course, is needed for brain function. And then vitamin D3. You know, it's interesting. I have clients in Singapore, and I tested their vitamin D. In Singapore, I lived there for 10 years. And it's 75 miles from the equator. It's really much right there. And the temperature is about 86 degrees all year round with 100% humidity. So you can't really wear anything other than a T-shirt. Otherwise, you're drenching. And you're always out in the sun. I was always out in the sun. And this one woman, she's Chinese. And so she has a rare, it's a problem with her blood. It's a blood disorder of the platelets. And so I had her vitamin D tested. It was low. And I said, man, what in the world? This is in a country where there's a lot of sunshine, and it's low. So she's taking vitamin D3. That's what you need, a vitamin D3. So the majority of Americans are deficient in vitamin D. Probably more like 70% of Americans are deficient. And I've seen it in the labs. Every time I order labs, it's always low or near low. It's like 30 to 100 is the range, okay? Most Americans are around 18 to about like 35. So I have to put them on a vitamin D supplement, because vitamin D is very important in calcium absorption from the diet. So you're eating a lot of food rich in minerals, and you're not getting it in, and you're wondering why. It's because you don't have vitamin D to support that assimilation. So you need to take vitamin D about, approximately the average now for most Americans is about 4,000 international units per day. So 4,000 IU per capsule is what you find. I take 5,000 because one time I measured my vitamin D, it was like 18. I said, and I wasn't like paying attention. Oh no. So what I did is I started taking 5,000 a day, and I'm just maintaining right now. It'll build it up. It takes about 3 months to get to normal from a low to, it takes 3 months. So you keep taking it. And in terms of cancer therapy, it's crucial to have normal vitamin D, because you got the hormone system you're trying to restore back to normal. You got the dietary problem, and you're trying to assimilate minerals. I mean, it's everything. And then the other thing is labs. Labs are done every 4 weeks. You know, I look at labs as the footprints of pathology. How do you know what you're doing is working? Do you just go by feel? I mean, that's good. I mean, feelings are important. I feel more energy. I gain some weight. That's a good sign, right? Yeah, it's a good sign. But are you sure it's really energy that you've gained? Or are you, you know, sometimes the mind can play tricks on you because you want to get well. So it can play tricks on you. So let me look at your lab just to make sure. So you do the labs, and you're monitoring a tumor marker. So the tumor markers of breast cancer is the CA15-3 and the CA27.29. So you're watching the tumor markers, and hey, it went up 20 points. Oh, okay, which one is right now? Your feelings or the number? Which one? Which one will you go by? What? Feelings? Somebody said feelings? Okay. What do you think I go by? I have to go by the lab. Numbers don't lie. If it's run on the same lab. Now, if you run it in another lab, they have a different calibration, and it may be off a few points. But if it's the same lab, hey, the cancer has progressed. It's not stopped yet. Let's change the protocol. I got to press this gas pedal now, or this, or all. You know, there's so many options. That's the thing that's tricky about the Gerson therapy, is we train the physicians to really know which button to push. There's so many controls. It takes a lot of experience. But my first year, I almost quit. I called the medical director at the institute and said, I don't think I can do this. I was in tears. I don't think I can do this, because people were dying. the stage four cases. I don't know if I'm going to last like this. It's too much. And she said, hang in there. You know, you can't help everybody. You try your best. You know, you can do it. You know, and I was thinking, well, maybe God led me to this. So I keep learning over time. And then I started to put the oxygen in. And I can't believe it since May. What happened is when I put that oxygen platform in, I have never felt more confident because that's the breath of life. I never knew that was a secret. That oxygen is crucial. I saw a CA-27, actually a CA-27.29 and CA-15-3 went from 74 down to around 50 in 2 months. Before that, I have never seen it happen that quick. Ovarian cancer, CA-125 is the tumor marker. 239 down to like 89 in 1 month. So, wow. And to be precise, I think it was about 14 days. You don't see that number drop that quick. And at the same time, the pain disappeared. Person is feeling energetic, excited. It all matched up, feelings and numbers. And then they did imaging study to confirm it. And they said, it looks good, whatever you're doing. Wow. That's why we need to pay attention to oxygen. It's a lifestyle. It's something you have to, if you exercise every day to maintain your health, you're preventing that possibility of cancer with a good diet. The next thing is imaging. It's usually done about every 4 to 6 months. How many of you have heard of Dr. John McDougall? Okay. Now, he put a video online in YouTube, and I watched it many times. It's very important. I would like you to write it down and watch it. It's about how fast cancer is growing, because you need to have a strategy to decide what to do before you get there. Okay? The video title is, Why Did Steve Jobs Die? He had pancreatic cancer. Why did Steve Jobs die? And what happened was, he said, and he did a calculation, he said the average doubling interval of cancer growth, okay, the progression, the growth, is between 3 months, which is the most aggressive, to about 10 months, 3 to 10 months. And you will see how he did that calculation. So if you have a tumor right now at 1 centimeter, a breast tumor, 1 centimeter, and it's an invasive ductal carcinoma, the most common, it will be 2 centimeters in 3 months. Okay? So you have 3 months to really do something about it. If it's less than 2 centimeters in 3 months, you might have slowed it down a little bit. I'll give you a case example. I had a client who came to me 2 years ago, and she had a tumor of 2 centimeters in the breast. She didn't want a surgery. She didn't want any chemo, radiation, nothing. She just wants Gerson therapy because she wants to reverse it naturally. So I said, okay, let's give it a try. That's your choice. So we monitored it. Her breast tumor marker was in the upper limit of normal. It was around 25, 26. Let me see here. I'm trying to remember the case. Actually, no, it was in the 30s. It's close to normal, though, because 25 is the upper limit of the CA-15-3. So it was around 30, 30, 32, and then it crept up really slow over the next 2 years, and it finally went up to about 40. That's not much of a gain, right? So what's happening? Well, they did a same imaging study 1 year apart, and what they found was it grew, this is invasive ductal carcinoma, 8 millimeters. So it's now 2.8 centimeters, which is 28 millimeters, okay, 2.8. From 2, I saw her 2 years ago. Did it grow fast, yes or no? No, she had time. It probably slowed it down. Because they told him, we need chemotherapy, we need surgery after the chemo to shrink it. Actually, you know what? It was the other way around. They wanted to do a mastectomy and then give her chemo and radiation. And she turned it down. She didn't want that option. And so when I looked at it right now, I said, you were able to slow it down because most of the time it's covered. The whole breast is covered with cancer. So she did good. She did good. And they did a PET scan. Nothing metastasized anywhere. It was just a solitary tumor at the same place they discovered it. So it didn't metastasize. So the body basically sequestered it. But at this point, being 2.8 millimeters, I told her, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit bigger over time, so why don't you just get it out? So that's my advice, is surgery, lumpectomy or mastectomy. In this case, at 2.8, it's most likely a mastectomy. And so I said, go ahead, do it. It's been 2 years. And now the history, what we learn is that when you do a mastectomy or lumpectomy, and it's the solitary region, and while you are on the Gerson therapy, or before starting Gerson, your success rate is very high, very good prognosis, without doing anything else, as long as you go onto the program. Because you either choose that or chemo and radiation. But some doctors, they want to start you with chemo first, and so you can't have the surgery until you accept the other stuff. So that's kind of like you're in a bind there. But still, even then, Gerson therapy will help you in the long haul, but we have to modify the protocol into a pre-treatment, chemo pre-treatment protocol. Okay. I'll show you examples of the protocol itself when I show you the case studies. So I'm going to show you four cases. All right, so we are done. I ended on time, 12 o'clock. Is that good? Okay. Lunch.